delighted that you have found the Mindset Mentor Meets podcast. I'm Angela Cox, your host and indeed the Mindset Mentor, and I'll be interviewing executives and founders at the top of their game to find out what lies beneath. I want to know what makes people proud, how they define success, what holds them back, and indeed what drives them forward. This is authentic and natural conversation with the best in the business. So listen in, enjoy, and if you love what you hear, please do leave a review. And now, over to today's guest. My guest today is the wholehearted Tarini Pandey. Now, she's the Chief People Officer at Puma Capital Group. She is the trustee of a homeless charity, and she's a mum. Tarini, for me, is one of life's beautiful souls, and not only because she is a lover of cake, but also because she is one of the most genuine people that I've met. So it's an absolute joy to have her on this season of the podcast. She's sitting in front of me now on Zoom. Tarini, welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
Oh, I'm really well, thank you, Angela. I'm even more well now that you said those lovely things about me. But yeah, no, really well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm really good too. And I was loving reading about you this morning. Obviously, we've met and I know you really well, but I was reading some of your bio info and I loved the bit about cake. So not only do you like eating cake, but you also like making cake.
I like making, eating, looking at, watching, all of it. Anything cake related is right up my street. So yeah.
Woman after my own heart. I'll be looking forward to seeing those cakes when we meet again. Now, you have agreed to be a guest on our podcast, and it's a podcast that really explores the human behind the leader. And one of the things that we do in the pod is explore your proudest moments and really get to understand what sits behind you as the leader in the organization. So I would love it if we could kick off with your first one and just share what that is for you.
So this was a really, really hard one because I guess it's not one specific moment, but lots of little moments leading up to one kind of, I guess, big moment. So this year, our company was rated the top 100 great places to work within financial services, which is insane because we're a company of about 110 people or so. And I think for me, that was a really, really proud moment, not just because of the accolades and the fact that, you know, it was based on our staff's genuine feeling and thoughts behind it, but actually the kind of, I guess, the pride came from the journey that it took to get there. Because I think if we'd started as this sort of super amazing company that did everything right, where everybody was kind and values-led and behaved beautifully, that would be cool. That would be a cool award. But actually, we kind of didn't. We started at the opposite side of the scale, whatever that is, but it's not as nice side of the scale. And I think it was a company set up by my wonderful CEO, who I've worked with a very long time now. And he took a few of us on that journey. And I think in the beginning, you know, there were five of us that had this as a side hustle. You know, we were like, oh, let's do this thing. And I think in the beginning, because we were so excited, anytime anyone wanted to come and work with us or do anything or, you know, be associated with us, we would just sort of wholeheartedly welcome them in. What we didn't do is focus, you know, we focused on the what they did versus the who they were.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we learned a really horrible, hard lesson that actually both things need to be really important when you're building a company, because we got it really, really wrong. Mm. You know, we ended up, I think, about 3 years into our journey where, you know, the feedback we were getting was awful. We didn't even enjoy coming to work. And we were like, oh my God, if we don't like coming to work, you know, surely no one else is having a great time either. And we undertook and made some really brave decisions to change all of that. And again, you know, really, really lucky to have a wonderful leadership team that is, on the whole, not everybody, but on the whole, really supportive of, you know, all of these kind of, I guess, values-led initiatives. And we made some really brave, hard decisions, and we continue to make some brave, hard decisions. And it's really, really been a journey. You know, we use that quite a lot because it's all the sort of little things that you do to get to the destination, right? It's the little steps and the big steps, but it's about being really honest about who you were. And we could have said, oh, well, you know, this is great. There's some people that are happy, so it's fine. We're happy or whatever.
Yeah.
And we didn't. And we made lots and lots of change to the organization. We communicated really transparently that we're not who we want to be, but we, you know, this is who we do want to be. And then we've had 7 years of that journey culminating this year in this kind of accolade, which is kind of important. But more important is when I go to a summer party or a staff drinks and I look around and I just look at all the wonderful people that work there that are really happy, and they tell me they're happy and they love working and I love working there. So for me, being my proudest moment, again, it's not one moment necessarily, but is that sort of, you know, we built this, but not from, you know, we had to knock some stuff down to build this property.
I absolutely love the honesty and the transparency to hear a leader be able to say that it wasn't perfect, it was far from it at the start, and that you've had to learn the lessons and go through the hardships to bring it into something that you feel you are proud of, but also that you can see through your people is working. And having worked for an organization that's been in the top 100 as well, I know how difficult the process is to actually get that accolade. You have to really jump through some hoops and go through some proof to be able to get that accolade in the first place. So it isn't just a tick box thing. Your people have to demonstrate that they love working for your company, and you've done that. So I can imagine that the pride as the chief people officer is enormous, but I can also imagine that the pride for the people who work in the organization is enormous as well, because they must feel part of something.
Yeah, I think that's exactly all of that, isn't it? I think we all try and pretend that we're these sort of, you know, experts. We're not pretend, we are experts at all sorts of technical great stuff, but ultimately, you know, it is about human beings, and human beings feel proud and want to belong. And I think when you find places that you do belong, and that was really strong actually in the feedback that we got, which was all anonymous, so I don't know who said it, but thank you whoever did. There were statements like, I feel like I found my home. Oh. I feel like I can be myself here, you know. And so it's not just the happiness, which is really important, but it's that sense of people feeling like they have arrived somewhere that values them for who they are, like in their entirety, with their vulnerabilities, with their, you know, warts and all. And that sense of belonging and that kind of feeling, I think, because it's a feeling that it's difficult to articulate, you know, but I get it with candidates when they come in. They're like, oh gosh, it just feels so nice when I walk into your office. So yeah, that's the sort of stuff, you know, and I'm massively heart-led anyway, but I think that is the stuff that fills me with, you know, pride. It's great to be a profitable company. We are, you know, it's great to be successful in lots of other ways. But actually, for me, that success is some of the most important stuff that we've done in the 11 years that we've been going.
And 11 years, it's a long time, isn't it? So it's not just an overnight thing in terms of building that sense of belonging. It takes work and effort every day to be able to create that environment for people.
Yeah. And we still get it horribly wrong. My gosh, we still get it horribly
wrong. Thank God you said that, because isn't that just the way of it in terms of, you know, best intentions, but things can still go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, 100%. But you've got to come at this from a place of humility constantly. Yeah. But you don't just get somewhere. You just kind of have to keep evolving. You have to keep having those tough conversations and, you know, have that space where people can say, oh, you know, this isn't quite right. And you go, okay, let's talk about that. Let's find out what that is. And, you know, and as you will know better than anyone, you know, like COVID has been a tough time for the world. It's been tough for people at work. So all of that sort of change has required us to pivot quite a lot. So yeah, it's ongoing, but yeah, we definitely don't get everything right, but we try, which I think is the important bit.
Well, we've got some of my favorite words in there. So humility and belonging wrapped up in that first proud moment. We'll definitely put that one out there as a pom-pom shake. So what about your second one then? What's that one all about?
So this is a funny one, because it's probably one of those things that, you know, lots of people do all the time. But my second one is running the London Marathon. And I think for me, the reason that I'm proud of this is A, because obviously it's a monumental, well, for me anyway, yeah. monumental challenge of sort of running that distance. But I think the really key kind of reason that that's a big success for me is that I had to train for it for three times. The first time I trained for it, I had health issues. So 4 weeks before that, I had to sort of stop and go and have operations. And so that was really disappointing. But, you know, I made the decision to go back in a second time, did it all over again. A few weeks before it, COVID hit, so they cancelled it. So it was just, you know, it was heartbreaking. And, you know, anyway, I did it the third, trained again for the third time and did it. And I think for me, the reason I was really proud of it was because it really taught me about the sort of impact of setting a goal and just seeing it through to the end. Like, just, you know, never mind the obstacles. And some of these were like heartbreaking obstacles because, you know, you're running six times a week, sometimes in rain and sleet and, you know, and you're knackered from work and all of the rest of it. And it, for me, just became this kind of thing where I was just like, right, I'm just going to use, you know, the grit that I've got in me. I'm going to do this. Like, I'm not going to let the healthcare stuff get in the way. I'm not going to let COVID get in the way, you know, as it did. I mean, obviously, listen, it's a small thing that happened for me for COVID. Obviously, lots of people had different journeys on that. But it was about that sort of, you know, series of small efforts to get to the big goal and not letting that happen. So, when, you know, get in the way. And so when I finally got to that goal and I got that medal, it just brought me so much joy because it was about that perseverance. And I could be so proud of myself that, you know, yes, it was about the training and doing that, but actually, you know, gosh, like, I didn't let stuff get in the way. So that, I think, for me, I guess that just sounds cliched, but it was about the journey versus the sort of end piece of it and what I learned about myself, you know, and I think that was amazing.
Like, huge resilience in there to get not one, but two setbacks through a huge training journey and then have the resilience and the mindset to say, I'm going to go again because I've not got to the end goal yet. The huge amounts of resilience. But what's interesting for me listening to you is the language that you're using about it, because it's so decisive in terms of, I'm going to do this and I'm going to use what I've got inside of me and I'm going to make it happen. And I'm going to get up every day, regardless of the weather, and get out there and train. And that for me is the strong bit about what you're saying, and something I think we can all leverage is that determination and decision point to say, I'm making this happen. There's like no doubt about it.
Yeah. I mean, exactly all of that. You've put it beautifully, as you always do, but, you know, it wasn't always easy. It wasn't like I didn't get up and love every single run.
I can imagine.
But yeah, I think it was that. It was just single-mindedness. I was like, right, I'm just going to do this. Like, and it's a funny thing, right? You know, because I guess at some points I was like, well, yeah, you know, it doesn't really matter to me. Like, it's not changing anyone's life, particularly whether you do this or not. But yeah, I felt really proud of it. And when I look back and, you know, even sometimes now when a song comes on that was on my playlist or whatever, yeah, I just still swell with pride. I'm like, oh gosh, you did that, and you did that, you know, through the journey. So I think, yeah, that's for me. I know lots of people run lots of marathons and, you know, it's amazing. But I think for me, that was the thing. I was just like, I did it.
Yeah, you did. And tell me about the actual run itself, because it's like, is it 26.2 miles?
Have I got that right? I think so. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not good with details. So it's around that. It's something like that.
I do park run and it's like 5K. I mean, 26.2 miles is just enormous in terms of how long you're running for and the determination to keep going. And people talk about this wall, don't they? Tell me about the run itself and how that felt.
So the run itself was, so I read this thing, which was amazing, which is, you know, you run the first bit of it with your training. The first bit of it you run with your plan, the next bit of it you run through the training, and the last bit of it you run with your heart. And I loved that because that sort of really did frame how the run was. It was, you know, the first bit you sort of go, okay, well, this is the plan. This is what I'm going to do. Stick to the times. The second bit is, well, I've run this far before, so it's okay. And then the last bit, you just got to go with your heart, you know. And I was so lucky that I had lots of my friends and family came to support me. So again, you see them and you just, I talk about my heart swelling all the time, but that whole episode for me was about that, you know, just almost you feel so happy that your heart's going to explode. And you know, you also feel like your heart's going to explode because it's really hard. So it was really hard. You know, it was really hard.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just, I guess, mind over matter, right? Like you just dig deep and you do it. And having that plan, but also knowing that you're going to rely on the bits inside you, the deep bits inside you, where you just have to reach down and on faith, right? You just got to reach down and go, well, they're going to be there. So I'm going to bank on it being there. And yeah, it's amazing. Actually, I've not thought about it, the sort of actual breakdown of how it worked for a long time, but it was those three bits. Like, I've done the work, I've got the plan, and now I've just got to have the faith. And
literally, as you said that, then it's just got me right on the inside of that, and it's brought like a wave of emotion where you describe the digging in and knowing that the faith is going to be there, that you've got it within you. I mean, to be able to acknowledge that through something like a marathon, and then know that in everything that you face moving forward, you've got that ability to tap into that depth. It's worth doing a marathon just for that.
Yeah,
it really 100%. Is.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's, I mean, listen, like, it's an amazing experience. Oh. You know, it's insane. Yeah.
Did you cry when you crossed the line?
Do you know what? I didn't, but mostly because I think I'd just gone into this space where, I don't know, like, it was a sort of deep meditative space where I don't really even remember a lot of it. But yeah. I cry, interestingly, more now when I think about it, when I think, and that's the sort of, you know, the feeling of pride. Like, yeah. I can be on a run outside and I'll think about it and I will start crying. And it's a very odd thing because I didn't at the time find it as emotional because I was just using every bit of my energy just to get through it, right? But yeah, and that's the thing with, I guess, that kind of, I guess, goal setting, particularly when it's hard, you know, it's that kind of thing where anything worth doing is always sort of a bit hard and a bit of a challenge. But I get more pride from the sort of journey than I guess I do really almost from the achievement.
Yes. Yeah. The fact that you dug deep three times through the training, you then did 26.2 miles. And cross the finish line. I mean, congratulations. Thank you. Isn't enough, really. But the emotion that I feel as you talk about it, I can almost sense the pride that you're carrying as a result of that. And it's bigger than just reaching the goal, as you say, because it's about you being able to turn up and make it happen despite all of the things that were there, all of the setbacks. And that's a lesson for us all in life, I think. And the way that you articulate it just brings it to life for people. So I love that. Yeah. You're so special, Tarini.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you make me quiver. You really do. So we've obviously talked about a work one, which was a big team effort in terms of getting to this top 100. The marathon, very much a personal journey that you've been on, but pride wrapped around both as a result. So I can't wait to see what you've got for the third one then in that case.
So the third one is probably actually interestingly going to be even more personal, but it's going to contradict my second one a little bit in that this was a lesson in life that I learned in a very, very hard, and it was a really important lesson. It wasn't a lesson that I liked a lot. I actually didn't like it at all, but it was really, really an important one. I guess my proudest moment, and it's a funny one to link to pride, but it links to, I've got an amazing son who's 13 years old now, but we really struggled to have a second one, you know, so we couldn't understand it. And we had years of infertility and had lots of miscarriages, all very difficult journeys and processes and things to go through. And I think particularly years ago, we didn't talk about this stuff as much as they do now, you know, and I'm always very open about this stuff now because there was a deep sense of loneliness going through that process of it. But, you know, we kept going through these rounds of IVF and having these miscarriages and awful, awful, awful times. And I guess the moment of pride was, you know, and sort of, like, I have to thank my husband for this, because he said to me, you know what, Tarini, just because this isn't the life that you imagined doesn't mean it's not a really lovely, perfect one. And the moment of pride for me was recognizing when to walk away, you know, when to say it doesn't matter how hard you try. So it's sort of the opposite of what I just said in the second one, right? But it doesn't matter how hard you try or how hard you want this. Sometimes life is just not going to pan out the way that you want it to. And you have to be strong enough and brave enough to take that lesson and take it with grace and take it in a way that you don't let it impact the rest of your life. And I think it's a funny thing to be proud of, you know, but I think what I'm proud of in that learning, I guess, is that I have learned to practice gratitude. Like, I have an amazing husband and I have an amazing son. And I'm so proud of the fact that we just said, do you know what? This is it now. This is the point where we take this and we're going to be just really grateful for what we have. And we're going to build a life that's amazing. And it is. And we practice gratitude and, you know, and I've got, he's 13. So, you know, it's up and down, obviously. But that's the pride, like taking the hard lesson and not letting it make you bitter, not allowing it to impact your own relationship, whether that's, you know, personally, professionally, whatever it is. I work in a job that, you know, lots of people, like my staff, have lots of babies and things like that. And I'm, you know, I'm always so happy for them. And lots of them share their own fertility journeys or miscarriages with me. And I will approach that genuinely with joy. Like, you know, one of my lovely staff got pregnant recently and she said, you're like one of the first people I wanted to tell because we'd been on a journey together with that. So, yeah, I think I feel really proud of how I have taken a very, very difficult situation, deeply personal, deeply horrible, you know, one that fills you with shame, you feel broken, you feel not good enough. It's a really taboo subject. People don't really know how to deal with it. There's physical things that happen through this, all of the rest of it. And I think I just feel proud of how me, but also my family collectively have dealt with that, because we've not allowed it to jade anything else. Does that make sense? So So I think it's a funny one, but it's the opposite lesson, right? To the lesson with the marathon, where I was just like, I'm just going to do this and I'm just going to kick ass and just get through it and nothing's going to get in my way and, you know, grrr. And for this one, it's pride in being able to understand when you just have to accept no.
Oh, this, I mean, I'm sitting here speechless, Tarini, because you're articulating a journey that I've worked through with so many clients. And this, as you say, is wrapped up in taboo. It's wrapped up in people not wanting to acknowledge the feelings, the hormone journey, the feeling of not good enough, the feeling of why is this happening to me, the jealousy of other people who are experiencing what you can't experience. And you mentioned that term bitterness, because that's what I see with many, many people going through this journey, is they allow it to take away from what they've got because they focus on what they haven't got. And there's a tipping point there in terms of, if you don't take a grip of that and make the decision that you made, then it can impact the rest of your life. And hearing you talk about it in such an open way, a candid way, with all the emotion wrapped around it, which I can see and the listeners might not pick up on because they can't see your face, it's so refreshing to hear someone brave enough to do that. And you, I mean, I don't think you'll understand the impact you'll have on so many people being that honest. And what you said before about the marathon, you can just try and try and try harder and try harder until you cross that line. With this type of journey, you can't do the mind over matter thing. You can't do the visualization. It's out of your circle of control, isn't it? And no amount of, you know, there's people out there that do hypnotherapy and all of that to try and get you to think in the right way to make it happen. It's not going to happen. So hearing someone like you come on the podcast and say, you've got to get to that point of accepting the no, is remarkably powerful. I hope you know how powerful that is for other people to hear. I feel this wave of pride hearing you brave enough to come on and say that.
Look, I think it's particularly hard. Things like this are particularly hard, I think, A, for women, because, you know, you can get into the detail of what society expects you to be and how you're, you know, couched in motherhood and, you know, all of the rest of the pressures that you have. But I think also, I think when you are, you know, a perfectionist or a control freak and all of that sort of, you know, throughout my life, it was about, well, if you just work hard enough,
yeah. If
you just push hard enough, if you just try hard enough. And I held that belief pretty much my entire life. Yeah. And that's why this lesson was the hardest, but maybe one of the most important ones I had to learn, because, yeah. You know, my God, when you talk about hypnotherapy, we threw everything at this, yeah. Like, you know, acupuncture, different doctors, you know, whatever, because you were like, well, there just must be an answer. And because it was unexplained until years later, that was even more frustrating, mm. because if you're quite a binary person, if there's a right and a wrong and a black and a white and 1 + 1 always equals, yes. 2, it's really hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do. And I think that's why I am very open about this stuff, because I think the more, you know, the more we talk about this stuff, the more we normalize it, the more we see people who have gone through this. And you know what? It was okay. It's as my husband said, it's not, I imagined a life with 4 kids or whatever, right? But I don't have that. But I just have, you know, I have a really, it's not perfect, but I have a wonderful life. And actually, for people who are going through that journey, or, you know, some people may never even have one, right? It's still a really beautiful, worthwhile life. And I think, yeah. It's a hard bloody lesson to learn, though. But yeah.
Terribly hard lesson, but the acceptance of the no is the key in terms of you then accepting or creating a life that goes in a slightly different direction, and then getting the joy and the gratitude from that. That's the moment, isn't it? You deciding with your husband's influence. I mean, what a great man he is. Love him. To lean into that and to go with it. Oh. God.
Yeah, the pivot, right?
Just inspirational in 3 ways now, but I think the final one that you've just shared, I mean, it's just hit me whack in the stomach in such a strong way. So I know that that's going to impact so many people. Thank you for your honesty around that.
Pleasure. Thank you for letting me talk about it in such a lovely space.
Oh, I wish we had like hours to carry on.
We do, always.
Amazing. So funny, that word pride, you've said, it's a funny thing to wrap around that. But from all the ones you've shared, I feel a wave of pride. So I'm sure that that is the right word for it. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. So we've had a work one. We've had one that's all about running and achieving and keeping going and crossing that line no matter what the barriers are. And then we've got the acceptance of the no and realizing that you can't control everything. So there's lots in there for us to learn. So I'm interested then in terms of the secret to success. We always ask everybody, what's the secret to success? And we've had like 95 different answers, which I love on the podcast, because success is an individual thing. So if you're going to define it, how would you do that?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think you could answer this, as you say, in 5,000 different ways, right? But I think for me, success has always been around the ability to build meaningful relationships, right? I'm an enormously heart-led person. So for me, that is what success is, right? It doesn't matter whether that's in your personal life, your professional life, whether that's as part of a different group or whatever. I think it's so important, and it's the thing that underlies everything, because if you achieve every single goal but you're always doing it alone, it's lonely, right? It's lonely. And I think that's the really important bit, finding, reaching your people, you know, in lots of different ways, whoever those people are. And I've been so lucky in my life to have always found different people who have just been wonderful. You know, I work with an amazing bunch of people. I have a lovely set of friends and obviously amazing husband, don't tell him, and child as well. But it's not easy. You just don't just go out and decide that you're going to have all these wonderful relationships and it's cool and everything. You know, it sort of swan into the rainbow-filled unicorn fest of success, right? I think building meaningful relationships are hard. Mm-hmm. They require trust on both sides. They require like a level of authenticity, or not a level, like full-on authenticity. They're the most meaningful kind. And I think honesty, and sometimes, you know, it's the beautiful truth over the ugly lie. And I think all of that stuff is really, really important. But yeah, for me, it's about successful relationships. But also, can I have a second one?
Am
I
allowed a second? Yes. Yeah, what you want.
Being greedy. I think it's also really, really important to have fun, right? Most of us aren't doing anything that's saving lives. We're not doing anything that is kind of, you know, what I try and say to people is that, you know, there's people on the other side of the world that don't even know what your job means.
Yeah.
Like if you said to them, what is this? They would have no idea what your job is or what that entails or whatever that is. So having a kind of lighthearted, fun thing, like attitude to it, obviously taking it seriously and wanting to achieve things. And you know, we should all have a little bit of that because it's important. But just like have fun. And yeah, I think that's really, really important. Yeah.
And I've seen you in a room full of people. I've had the joy of this. And your ability to connect with people is like off the scale. But not everybody can do that, Tarini. So if the secret to success is about building relationships, and we've got a person who really struggles to make that first connection that you are a master at, how does somebody do that? How does someone make that first step to connect?
Oh, gosh, that is a tough question. I think recognizing that you don't have to connect with everybody. Not everybody is the person that you need to connect with. So find the person that you do want to connect with. Find the person you feel safe with. Find the person whose view you value, who you want them to value your view. It doesn't have to be everybody.
Oh, I love that.
It just has to be the right people.
I love that. Because in a room full of people, it can be really scary. But if you only have to go and connect with one or two of those people, then it makes it easier.
Yeah. And that's it, right? You only need one or two, and it can be more meaningful than having 500.
Yeah.
Right. And I think if you feel safe and they are the right person, then maybe it won't feel quite as hard.
Yeah. I love that. We do need you to do a masterclass, though, Tarini, in how to connect with people, because listeners, she is the best at this.
You're so sweet. So,
yeah, I think you need at some point in 2024, if you could just slip that into your busy schedule,
that would be rather done. Deal.
Like a LinkedIn Live deal. On how to connect.
Oh my gosh. I'm not sure I would subject people to that, but thank you. You're so lovely.
Now, we are recording this just before Christmas, Tarini and I, but it'll be coming out to you, dear listener, in January. So I'm going to ask Tarini one extra question, which is, what's 2024 going to bring for you?
What is it going to bring for me? I think for me, I want to be better, and this can sound so cliched, but at self-care, you know, and what does that mean for me personally? I think that means much more boundary setting, but much more sort of, you know, just being intentional about things, right? Like, what is it, rather than trying to do absolutely everything all the time, because I'm really guilty of that, just saying, actually, what are the bits that I really want to focus on? What do I want to achieve with rest, with kind of taking care of myself? I think that's just being more intentional, I think, about things.
Oh, more intentional for 2024. I might take a bit of that as well. Tarini, I just wish at some level that people could see you right now on the screen. We don't put the videos out for our podcast, but you've just got this most endearing smile that draws people in. So I want you to get a sense of that, listener, as you listen to this podcast. It's been a joy, as always, to catch up with you.
Pleasure.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you for your honesty and your openness, and for sharing your proudest moments and secrets to success with us. Wish you a lovely Christmas and all the best for 2024. I'm sure I'll see lots of you. And yeah, have a wonderful time. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Angela. Such a pleasure, honestly. Really good. And have a lovely Christmas as well.
Thank you. And so, just like that, we're at the end of the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed your time listening today. And a big thank you from me for taking the time. I'd really love it if you would be able to leave a review, because it really does help us to get noticed. And if you haven't already, why not subscribe? And then you never miss an episode. I wish you a lovely rest of the day, whatever it is that you're doing. And I hope that you stay safe and well.